Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by the FTN Network, with your hosts, Ray Garvin and Derek Brown, breaking down NFL action with the info you need to crush your fantasy leagues.
All right, welcome to the first episode, the inaugural show, episode one, the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. It's your boy, Ray G. You can find me on Twitter, and I am joined by my esteemed colleague and co-host, one Derek Brown. You can find him at D-Bro. That's at D-B-R-O underscore F-F-B. Derek, how you doing, big dog?
Man, I'm ready to go. I'm fired up for this. We started talking about this at the Senior Bowl, baby. And you know what the hardest thing, Ray? The hardest thing for me was to not open my damn mouth on Twitter or social media. Like, I got paranoid. Like, I was sitting here trying to, like, draft some tweets and stuff like that for when we had the go live and the announcement day. And I was getting all paranoid, like, oh, shit, I think I might have hit send. Delete, delete! But I didn't, man. Kept it under wraps, and this is EP1, baby. I am so damn excited to kick this off.
Well, you know, it's really cool, man, because when they approached us to do this joint venture, this project, I mean, this is the flagship show for FTN. The FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, this is the flagship show. So I don't know about you. I probably could speak for you when I say, and everybody out there listening, we are so incredibly humbled and grateful that FTN chose us to do this. There are so many people who could sit in this chair, and for us to have an opportunity to talk to you guys every week about a game that we really love and enjoy, Dynasty Fantasy Football. And if you're listening and you're thinking about joining a Dynasty League, or you know, you're on the fence about it, you only do seasonal leagues, like this is the time, right? You know, we've got the Super Bowl coming up in a couple of days, but Dynasty is 24/7, 365. And what Derek and I are going to do on this show is talk about everything that we've seen. We're going to talk about rookies. We're going to talk about teams. We're going to, you know, everything is going to be intertwined and interwoven into this show. And, you know, D-Bro, when we first, we did a show together, Cam Akers. I remember I was in my son's toy room. This was over a year and a half ago. And the energy that you had, man, I was just like, I would love to do something with this guy. So to actually be here, sitting down with you this evening and doing a show about Dynasty Fantasy Football, man, I just want to say from me to you, man, I respect your work. And I think this is going to be fun for everybody out there listening. So please, please, please make sure you subscribe to the show. Go to FTNFantasy.com. Check out all the dope content over there. But D-Bro, real quick, man, are you like, is this, what's your level of just excitement about Dynasty and the difference for you between, you know, the seasonal grind to the Dynasty grind?
Man, I'm sitting here emphatically, and people can't see me because we're on podcast and we're not on video and stuff. So I'm emphatically like just shaking my head at every damn thing you're saying, man. One, I am so freaking excited to be able to chop it up with you. I mean, the vibes, like, whether it's Senior Bowl, anytime we've been on the mics, man, because we've done trade shows, we've done podcasts before, and every freaking time we hop on these mics, it is nothing but fire. And that's the way, like, I was out on the airwaves teasing this show today and telling people the good word about what we were going to be doing here. And the way that, and this ain't a sales pitch, people. We're two passionate people about Dynasty, about football, about fantasy, and you're going to listen to this show on a weekly basis, and you're going to walk away with this. There's times me and Ray G are going to sit here on this show, and we're going to talk about players. We're going to spit the love on both sides of the aisle. There's times where we're going to sit here and go back and forth, and I'm going to be like, dude, I don't know what the hell you're watching. You're wrong. Like, and that's fine. These are the type of conversations that you need to sit here and listen to, people. You don't want hand-holded. You don't want to listen to, like, people hugging on air the whole damn time, whether you listen for 30 minutes or an hour. There are times where we're going to agree, and there's times where we're going to disagree. And that's exactly what I think people need to be hearing, because you need different perspectives. There's about a billion different ways for you to treat your dynasty teams and your fantasy football teams. I might be high on drafting running backs early. Ray might say I'm damn crazy. But you know what? the people need both perspectives. And I think that that's exactly what we're going to bring to the table, man. Impassioned, educated opinions about players, teams, fantasy, dynasty. We're going to talk redraft, NFL, all kinds of stuff on this show, man.
Yeah, man. And, you know, we've got a big game coming up this Sunday, man. It's been an interesting football season. You know, it's, you know, the schedule was extended. We had to deal with, you know, COVID throughout the years and players in and out and all these different protocols and mandates. But we finally made it to the final game of the season. And I know for a lot of content creators, they're excited because they get a break. But this is the last competitive football that we're going to see for quite some time until, you know, the training camp kicks off. And I know we've got the combine and the NFL draft, but when we're talking about actually seeing these NFL stars on the field, the Super Bowl is it. And I'm excited because we get to see, there are so many dynasty worthy players, topics of conversation that are going to be playing in the Super Bowl on Sunday on both teams, the Rams. You know, you've got Matt Stafford, Odell Beckham Jr., Cam Akers, Sony Michel, Cooper Kupp, you know, Van Jefferson, the tight ends. If you play in IDP leagues, you got Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey on the other side of the ball. You got Joe Burrow and Mixon and of course, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, C.J. Uzama. There are so many players just in this game that as a dynasty manager, we're thinking about what's next. Like, we're excited for the future for some of these young stars. And we're already starting to think about, all right, is it time to move off of some of these ultra productive veterans? But, you know, they're coming towards that age apex, the end of their career, whatever it is you want to say. But I want to just let's kick it off real lightweight tonight. Let's just kick it off and talk about the quarterbacks. Let's just lead off with the quarterbacks, Derek, Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow. And we're not doing predictions here. Who's going to win, do any of that stuff. Dynasty value, when you're looking at these two young studs, and I don't think, for me, there's not much of a question. In my opinion, Joe Burrow is a top five dynasty quarterback. I think his weapons around him, the situation is only going to continue to improve once they work on that offensive line a little bit more. Ja'Marr Chase is out there playing. He's just playing backyard football. Wait until he understands the nuance of actually playing wide receiver. But when you're looking at Burrow and looking at Stafford, these are two quarterbacks who are on opposite ends of the dynasty lifespan spectrum. But what are your thoughts on Burrow? Let's just start with the young kid. What are your thoughts on Joe Burrow? Am I crazy for thinking he's a top five dynasty asset at this dynasty asset at the quarterback position at this point? Is he a little bit lower for you? Just what are your expectations for this player moving forward in 2022 and beyond?
I mean, I love it, man. I'm sitting here shaking my head because when you said top five, that's exactly how I have him ranked. If you head over to FTN Fantasy and you're looking at dynasty rankings right now, which mine are live on the site, I got him at QB3, man. Like, the only quarterbacks that are above him for me is Patty Mahomes and Josh Allen, and that's it. End of list. And people could talk about, and I think it's a really interesting conversation because people evaluating, like, Justin Herbert. And I'm not saying it's wrong, Ray, but if you look at their situations over even next season, the next two seasons, who has the more solidified situation? We're legit Cincinnati, all their pass catchers, they're on rookie deals. Like Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, they ain't going nowhere, man. Tyler Boyd, and we'll get to him later because we're going to go through all the positions in the Super Bowl and talk about all these players and basically what our thoughts are on Dynasty for all of these guys. So we'll mention Boyd here in a little bit. But for Burrow, even when I was doing startup drafts, like walking into this season, for me, there was a tier break between him and Justin Herbert. And I think it's an interesting conversation because a lot of people got Burrow at maybe QB5, QB4. They got Herbert over him. And it's not to say that that's wrong. But for me, when I look at the situations for these two quarterbacks, I think that they are immensely different. Because you have the Chargers, Joe Burrow, like, I mean, Justin Herbert, his weapons are quietly aging very quickly. Like, Mike Williams is going to be a free agent, whether they bring him back or they don't. Jared Cook is not a young buck. So you're looking at, like, outside of Austin Ekeler ain't a young stud either. Yeah. He's been around the league for a minute. Like, these are some guys where I think the Chargers are at more of a crossroads than people understand or realize. And for me, it's easy to put Joe Burrow ahead of him. Like, Keenan Allen's not getting any damn younger. And so if I'm in startup drafts or I'm doing my ranks, I want people to be above consensus on Joe Burrow, and maybe people got him at QB5, QB6, what have you. Baby, he's QB3 for me, and it ain't even close.
Yeah, I mean, so we're already going to start off on the wrong foot because I think it's quite close. I think it's
okay.
And I understand, you know, Joe Burrow's situation, right? There's no doubt he's got the better pass catchers. He's got Ja'Marr Chase, got T. Higgins. Who knows what's going to happen to Tyler Boyd, but finding a number three wide receiver in that offense who's going to be the third, fourth option, not hard to do. Where I look at the difference between those two quarterbacks right now, I don't want to say the talent, because we saw Joe Burrow throw for 500 damn yards against the Ravens. Like, we saw that, right? We know he's capable of that. You know, Herbert's going into the season, he'll be just turned 24 years old. You know, Joe Burrow, 25 years old. He suffered a devastating knee injury that he came back from, and there's no doubt that he is 100% recovered. I think he can be even better next year. Like, I know he's playing, he's 100%. I don't know. I just feel he can be even better next year. But when I'm just looking at these two quarterbacks, I'm looking at the guy as I'm talking through this, I'm thinking, shit, would I have Herbert over Joe Burrow? I just think the age for me, Derek, the age, and the unbelievable arm talent that he has, the ability to make throws that I only think a handful of quarterbacks in the NFL can make, those quarterbacks being Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, sort of separate. That's really the thin icebreaker or the thin line that separates Herbert from Joe Burrow, in my opinion. And we all know, like, what happens if the Chargers draft Garrett Wilson or Treylon Burks or get one of these high-end wide receivers, or they lure a free agent to Los Angeles? Now you're at that point, you're talking about Justin Herbert, maybe the number one QB in Dynasty. And for me, man, I think the bigger thing is a lot of people like to have Kyler Murray ahead of Herbert. I can't do it, man. And I get it. Everyone's like the rushing. I just, for everything that Kyler does so well, I still think he gets a little bit overpraised for how good his arm is and how accurate he is. Not like he's great. He's a fantastic fantasy producer, but long term, man, he's a small guy, and his accuracy is hit or miss from game to game. I mean, the passes getting tipped, pick sixes left and right. They're tier one quarterbacks. I think Joe Burrow has officially, in my opinion, cemented himself amongst, maybe he's at the bottom of tier one. If you want to say tier one is Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and right at the bottom of that tier one is Joe Burrow, I'm fine with that, right? If you've got Joe Burrow at three, I've got him at four. I think we're arguing, we're splitting the thinnest of hairs there. I think we can both agree, and everybody listening, I mean, and let me just ask you, because I'm looking at some ADP according to DLF. Would you rather have Kyler Murray or Joe Burrow?
Oh, I want Joe Burrow, man. I've got him ranked over Kyler Murray. And I mean, look, we've seen Kyler.
Okay, hold on. Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow?
It's Burrow for me. And
all right,
I actually had them probably flipped walking into this season. And that's not, to me, it's not recency biased on Lamar or Kyler. I think both of them are extremely talented quarterbacks. But if you look at Burrow, I think you hit the nail on the head, Ray. Like, when you were talking about Burrow still having another level that he can get to. Like, and that's why I kind of still push him above Herbert, is because we saw Herbert throw for 5,000 damn yards this year. Like, he goes over, what do you have, like 35, 38 touchdowns passing? I know he gives you the rushing that Burrow probably won't ever give us. Maybe he does that more next year or another year recovered from the ACL. But I think that Burrow, and especially with the way he ended the season, can access another level to his game. I think that if I'm looking at the two different guys, I think that Herbert's the guy that I think, and it's not to say people are overvaluing him because he is a damn stud. But as far as like, and some of how I do my dynasty ranks is looking at players and ranking players aggressively and saying, can this player also, not only is he a damn baller, but can he gain more equity in the coming season. I don't know if Justin Herbert necessarily can, considering the stats and everything he put up on paper this year, but I think Burrow can. Like, I think that there's still a ceiling to be had for Burrow, especially when you got him tied to Jamar Chase. And could he go for 5,000 passing yards and maybe 40 touchdowns through the air next year? I think it's possible, man. They get him an offensive line, and we saw Cincinnati. If you even want to look at, like, pass rates over expected towards the last four or five games of the season, they were throwing the ball at a higher clip. If they do that for the entirety of next season, dude could put up some damn arcade video game type numbers.
So here's some little advanced metrics here on Herbert and Joe Burrow. What's scary is Joe Burrow's that good while being 15th in the NFL in pass attempts. And according to Player Profiler, 75.6% protection rate, which was 32 in the NFL. Justin Herbert, 88.5, fifth in the NFL. Herbert, 5,275 air yards, which was third in the NFL. Joe Burrow, 11th, with 4,198 air yards. And when you're talking about, you know, just the attempts and fantasy points per game, Justin Herbert, second in the NFL in fantasy points per game. Joe Burrow, 10th, with 20.5. And then the attempts, again, 520 for Joe Burrow, 672 pass attempts for Justin Herbert. I mean, he's just, for me, and this is in his second season, man, I don't see them slowing down, and they don't have a true grinder type running back to take carries away, you know, to take opportunities away from the quarterback. Again, neither here nor there. I think we are both in lockstep that Joe Burrow is a top five dynasty quarterback, and I don't think there should be any debate on that, in my opinion. I don't think there should be any debate on that. I think the debate that we're going to get is, what is Matthew Stafford's dynasty value moving forward? Incredible season from Matt Stafford. According to DLF, their January ADP, they have him as QB 15. Some quarterbacks that he is ahead of: Mac Jones, Tua, Zach Wilson, and Derek Carr. Those round out your top 20. Some quarterbacks that are ahead of Matt Stafford. And we're just looking at some of the young guys: Deshaun Watson, T-Law, Russell Wilson, Fields, Aaron Rodgers, Trey Lance at QB 9, Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, and then the aforementioned Joe Burrow. Where are you at with Stafford? He's going to be 34 years old at the start of next football season, which, you know, by NFL standards, it's not young, but it's not like decrepitly old, right? Like, he's still got some time left. But at QB 15, here's my question to you. Would you rather any of the rookie, take your whatever rookie quarterback in 2022 is your quarterback one, would you prefer any of those rookies to Matthew Stafford in dynasty?
So for me, I mean, I still will take Justin Fields over him, and I think you can make a case for Trey Lance. And I know that they didn't put up what, you know, we were hoping in their rookie season. I mean, it was a lost season for Lance. He sat behind Jimmy G all year, which was really the fear. If you drafted Lance in a startup, you're like, man, I mean, if he's my QB1, QB2, I want him to play. But for me, I will put Justin Fields over him. And I think the rushing equity, what we saw, I mean, Justin Fields, they tried to bury him in decreased passing rates over the beginning of the season. Nagy's now out of town. I don't think it can get worse in Chicago. They're going to put more skilled players around him, and I think the offense could do nothing but play better. And for a dude in Fields, I mean, shit, Ray, like, over the last, like, 4 to 5 games of the season when he was healthy and on the field, he was a top 12, top 10 quarterback every single freaking week. And this is inside the context of an offense where Allen Robinson wasn't a thing for the entire year.
Yeah.
They had Darnell Mooney operating in a role which he should not be in. Darnell Mooney should not be a wide receiver one in any offense.
Whoa,
and that is not
wait
a
minute. Wait a minute. We ain't going to have listen, this is EP1. I'm not going to stand for a lot of Darnell Mooney
it's
slander.
It's not shade on him.
Go ahead.
It's not shade on him. But what I'm saying is, like, if you're an offense in the NFL and 9 times out of 10, if the offense is humming, it's going well, is really Mooney the guy that should be the X or the number one that should be leading your passing game in targets? That's really where I come down with it, man. Like, they need to add more weapons. I still believe in Cole Kmet. I like Darnell Mooney as a player. He balled out this year. and showed a lot of people, like, he even surpassed my expectations, and I was high on him coming into this season. But this is all to say, like, I'll take Justin Fields on it. You could put Lance above him. But for me, if I'm picking one dude out of that rookie class, and T-Law had a rough season, no doubt. People could put him above that, but if I got to pick one, it's going to be Fields. Where do you sit on the rookies versus Matthew Stafford?
Well, I mean, I would take Fields, I would take Lance, and I would take Lawrence over Stafford from the 2021 rookies. Would you take any of the 2022 guys over Stafford? Again, 34 years old. We're talking dynasty. Whichever guy, Corral, Willis, Pickett, whoever you got at the top, would you take any of those guys over Matt Stafford?
Right now, the only guy, and I haven't gotten to Corral's tape.
I know, I get it. Like yeah.
But, and this is not recency bias. I know we just got back home. We just got back to TX, baby.
Uh-oh.
I would consider taking Malik Willis over him, man. Yeah. With the rushing equity, with the upside. Like, Matthew Stafford, and we know who Matthew Stafford is at this point in his career. And really, you're looking at him from a dynasty perspective. I don't disagree. Where's he at in DLF ADP? QB 15, you said?
15, right? 15, okay. Yeah. 41 passing touchdowns this year, fourth in air yards, third in passing yards. I mean, he was good this season. He was
Can we
very
say that
good.
That's probably the damn ceiling for Stafford, though,
probably.
Right? Moving forward.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he's probably
yeah.
not going to have a better statistical ceiling, like, regardless of age, because we've seen quarterbacks just continue to ball out and stuff like that. Like, I think this is kind of like what you're looking at Stafford's. Like, he was QB5 overall in total points, QB11 in fantasy points per game on the season. And really, maybe Stafford gets a few more touchdowns next year. Maybe he gets in the top 8, top 10. But really, that's kind of where you're looking at. Where you look at Malik Willis, he's got the type of upside with his legs alone. He could be top 5.
So,
like, that's not crazy, right?
And here's the crazy thing. When you really think about how much the rushing, you know, impacts these quarterbacks, you know, Stafford, I said he was, what, third in the NFL in passing yards last year, second in the NFL in mm-hmm. passing touchdowns, and he was still, you know, 11th in fantasy points per game because he gives you absolutely nothing on the ground. So regardless of what you think, and we will talk rookies. We got a lot of time. We will talk rookies. Regardless of what your personal feeling or opinion is about Malik Willis, the reality is he's going to be a first-round pick. He has elite rushing upside, and he's got the tools and traits that you're looking for from a pocket passer, from a quarterback position. Will he ever throw for 5,000 yards? I don't fucking know. Probably not. But is he going to rush for it? What's his over? What are Malik Willis's rushing yard futures going to look like when they open it up? 501? 500, 500 and a half rushing yards. I mean, Cam Newton had 700 and something as a rookie. I'm thinking Willis, if he goes to Pittsburgh, if he goes to Detroit, if he goes to Carolina, I think he's got a floor of 500 rushing yards as a rookie. Yeah. And that is what holds even the most dangerous quarterback back from being an upper echelon quarterback, is not having those rushing yards. So I know it feels gross and it sounds dirty. If you're giving me one quarterback in dynasty, give me what Malik Willis could do over Matthew Stafford. And again, that's no slight. I mean, some people I know they're going to listen to this and what? He's 34. He's not 44. Well, shit. I want the guy that's 23 or 24 years old, right? That's got the first round draft capital. I think we can both agree that he's got less time in the game than he has more time in the game. And if you want to cash out on an unbelievable season that he had, that the chances of him duplicating the type of production that he had this year, I don't know, man. It's just, you know, 5,000 yards, 41 touchdowns. That's a hell of a season for Stafford. I'm happy for him, but dynasty, give me the young cat. But we got to move on to the running backs. And I want to talk about a player that we are both – were both and are still both very high on. A lot of people talk that shit about Cam Akers, right? I remember going into the 2020 draft, there was some draft analyst, I know his name, but on episode one, I'm trying to be nice, so I'm not going to out him. But Cam Akers, remember the blurb, because Roto Underworld picked it up, Roto World picked it up during that time. And it said Cam Akers projected to be an undrafted free agent. Like, wasn't even going to get, wasn't even a draftable guy, right? A seventh round pick, undrafted free agent, gets picked in the second round, you know, dealt with some injuries early as a rookie, and then has that unbelievable run in the playoffs, tears his Achilles tendon. We all know the story. He comes back. He's back out there playing. He looks good. Yes, he fumbled the ball a whole bunch, but that's what happens when you don't play tackle football for a goddamn year. Cam Akers, Joe Mixon, two extremely talented running backs in this Super Bowl. Who you got in Dynasty? You want Cam Akers or do you want Joe Mixon? And just for reference, right now, Cam Akers, according to DLF, he's coming off of the board as RB15. And Joe Mixon, RB8. So people had left Joe Mixon for dead coming into the season, and he balled out. Now he's RB8. Cam Akers right behind Elijah Mitchell, Antonio Gibson, and J.K. Dobbins. I want Cam Akers over any of those guys, man.
Yes. That's slanderous, dude. And I'm not trying to sit here and start this off with hot takes, but that shit should be flipped, dude. Cam Akers should be above Joe Mixon. He should be above some of these other cats. Like, we're seeing in this mid, like, late RB1 range, RB2 range. Cam Akers is an RB1 in Dynasty for me. I mean, he's 22 years old. The Rams rolled him back and legit used him as a bell cow in the playoffs. And we're seeing this, man. Like, playing over 80% of the snaps. And now I understand that, like, on social media and stuff like that, people want to talk about the fumbles or his yards per carry. But for me, like, okay, you want to talk about all that kind of stuff. We're talking about a player that legit, like, in a lot of other players, would be, like, in training camp mode. He hasn't played all season. He's now coming back into the prime of, now it's go time, man. And Cam Akers is thrown back into go time in the playoffs, and they ramp him up. Basically, this is like training camp for him. He's still getting his legs underneath him. The dude just came back off of like rehabbing from an Achilles, thrown into playing over 80% of the snaps in the damn playoffs. And people are out there talking about, it's the same bullshit bad narratives, dude. It's like, let's fade Deontay Johnson because he drops passes. Let's fade Cam Akers so he fumbles the ball. Man, shut that shit up. Like, he is on a good offense that's going to be a good offense next year. This offensive line, and yes, they're going to have some turnover. Whitworth's probably going to retire and walk off onto the sunset, like, regardless of whether he gets a ring or not. This team is still going to be good next year. This team is showing you that straight up out the block, they are going to trust Cam Akers and lots of different situations as they're passing down back, as their full-time workhorse. He legit stepped up out the locker room and took that job from Sony Michel off the street, out of rehab. And people are like, they're drafting Cam Akers. He's an RB1 in Dynasty, man. And look, I am a massive Cam Akers stan. I'll admit it. I ain't scared of it. I'm not ashamed of it. Because the dude is a damn baller. And so I'm not fading him off of fumbles. I'm not fading him off of any other kind of crazy-ass narrative about yards per carry against the Rams. Have not been run-blocking well. And if you head over to FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, you're looking at all this data and stuff like that we got live. Their offensive line has not been getting a push up front. And Cam Akers has been facing some really damn good run defenses in the NFL. And this is coming out before the Super Bowl, Ray. If Cam Akers, and I'm calling the shot, if Cam Akers plays in the Super Bowl, he is going to have a damn good game. And you're going to see a lot of people backtracking and really damn quiet on Twitter. So I'm calling the shot, man. If you got Cam Akers or you want to sit here, you're doing a startup draft right now. The fact that he is not an RB1 in Dynasty, just soak it up. Get the biggest damn straw and cup you got in the house and soak up all that value, baby. That's where I'm at. Where you sit on Cam Akers?
Yeah, man. I'm just looking at the top 21 running backs according to this ADP from January, and Cam Akers is the second youngest running back of the 21 that are that are inside this subset. The only one younger than Cam Akers is Javonta Williams at 21.7. Well, he's 21 years old and 8 months now. Cam Akers, 22 years old and 5 months. And then I look at some of these running backs ahead of him. Austin Eckler is going to be 27 to start the season. Alvin Kamara, RB7, he's going to be 27 to start the season. Dalvin Cook, 27 years old to start the NFL season. There's no doubt in my mind I would prefer Cam Akers to some of those guys. I would actually reorder this quite a bit. I'm still very much in on Cam Akers. I'm not concerned about the fumbles. Again, that's what happens when the coach gives you the ball 25 damn times and you haven't played football. You know, training camp, no preseason, no games. Like, it, you got to get used to getting popped, man. You got to get used to the feel. When you got somebody this young at 20, he's going to enter the season at 23 years old. Like, that's, again, the second youngest running back inside this top 20. It's just incredible, and I'm still in on him. You see the receiving versatility that he has. If he looks this good now off of Achilles surgery, imagine how much better he's going to look coming, you know, off of training camp next year into the season. And like you said, one thing that I'm not concerned with the Rams, because they somehow find a way to just get it done, is they'll lose Whitworth and they'll figure out a way to upgrade that offensive line. They're just going to do it. They're going to do it. Don't have any concerns about Cam Akers. Joe Mixon, RB8, 25 years old. He'll be 26, right at 26 years old to start the season. He's being valued as RB8 in Dynasty. Where are you at with Mixon? I'm a big Joe Mixon fan. I love his skill set. The offense is incredible. We just talked about Joe Burrow for, you know, 20 damn minutes. Again, it's interesting. I need to pull up what his ADP was coming into the season, because a lot of people were out there talking about how bad Joe Mixon was, and, you know, he let us down in 2020, so you got to fade Joe Mixon. Just look like a damn star among stars. He's got the size, can catch the ball. Joe Mixon, I'm in on him as a top 10 dynasty running back. And I would personally probably have him over Alvin Kamara and Dalvin Cook. So if we're just looking at this ADP, I mean, that puts him at RB6 for me. He's right. He's getting there, right? He's 26. So it's getting close to thinking about pivoting off of Joe Mixon at some point. But I think you're good for at least another couple of years with Mixon as a top locked and loaded RB1.
So we're on Mixon. Like, so I let off the Cam Akers rant about saying I would probably have this flipped. And honestly, I'd probably have Akers over Mixon. And the reason I look at it that way, it's not just an age thing. And I know we all get tied up and twisted about age and dynasty. But honestly, like, looking at Mixon, man, like, you're looking next season, he's going to be 26. Like, and you look at his contract, he's got a good bit of money still wrapped up in him. They're not going to move on for him. He's 26 entering next season. But for me, and it's not trying to get out, maybe I'm just a little bit too much ahead of the curve, but with Mixon, I almost want to be out before it goes bad.
It's fair.
If that sounds crazy, like, because in 2023, Ray, dude's going to be 27. You look at his contract structure, he's got $5 million in dead cap. They could cut him, not saying they're going to cut him, because he's going to be 27, not like he's over the hill. They could cut him and save $7 million against the cap. Maybe they draft a young guy in the middle rounds this year to fill it out, because I think we're both in lockstep. Like, Chris Evans ain't going to be that long-term dude. He's just a depth chart filler type. Samaje Perine is not that dude. And so, like, with Mixon, I'm almost willing to get out before it's too late, man. And that's honestly, like, not just age, but situation and looking at maybe the Bengals go more pass-heavy. They lean into it a little bit more. And Mixon, walking into this year, people were sour on Mixon. I'm not saying they were wrong, but a lot of injuries and stuff like that. Doesn't it feel like this is kind of like the Joe Mixon season where everybody got paid off? Can he stay healthy for the full season next year?
Good point.
I mean,
that's a good
point. I
don't
know. Mixon's a guy I'd rather be out earlier and ahead of the curve, and maybe I eat. Like, he has like a top five season. Maybe I eat that, and I'm like sitting there like, well, damn it, why'd I trade away Joe Mixon? But almost like I'd rather be out before it's too damn late, and then you're left holding the bag, and he's a 27-year-old running back, and you're like, I mean, how much are you going to get back for him at that point?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that's one of those things in Dynasty where you're like, I'd rather be a year too early opposed to a year too late. Now you got me thinking. I mean, because he was another guy like, I'm on this Isaiah Spiller kick like crazy today, but he's another one of those running back that came into the NFL extremely young. So he's been there. Feels like he's been there for freaking ever, but he's still relatively young. you know, considering running backs, right? 25 years old right now, starts the season at 26. I think what will happen, this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. If you hold Joe Mixon in Dynasty, I think he's still going to be good in 2 years. And think about it right now. You know, if you project Joe Mixon 2 years from now, he's 28 years old, which puts him at the same age of Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, before he went down, he was the RB1 in fantasy. Joe Mixon at 28 could still potentially be a top six scorer at the position. The issue is you're probably never – if you want max value on Mixon, like now is probably the time to get it, right? Because if you hold him past this year – you know, he's 26 going on 27. So whatever value you could have received from trading Joe Mixon now at probably his apex, like think if Joe Mixon goes out there and balls in the Super Bowl, people are going to be like, he's a top five guy. That is probably like the height of the value that you're going to get on Joe Mixon. And if you wait and let's just say, you know, he has a good season, but it's not great. He's still relatively young. You're going to be sitting in that boat where you knew Derrick Henry was worth multiple first round picks, but nobody would give that up because, well, he's 27. He's not going to be able to do it forever. So I think you are right where like you probably want to get out now and max out that value. I just think he's still going to be pretty damn good for another couple of years. And I guess it all depends on your team. Right. And we'll talk about different things like what type of team you have, how the strategy around contenders versus pretenders. We'll talk all that shit. We're just talking to players now. I still think Joe Mixon's a top 10 dynasty asset. I think he's going to be a top 10 scorer at the position next year. I think he's going to be money, seasonal leagues, dynasty leagues. But this may be, especially after Sunday, if he has a good game, this might be sort of like the apex type ceiling to get that return value on Joe Mixon that you might see. And, you know, and then flipping it to another player, where does his value get any higher than it is right now, D-Bro? Cooper Kupp. Cooper freaking Kupp won the triple crown, receiving yards, receptions, like just he almost had 2,000 damn receiving yards this year. I mean, Cooper Kupp was just money. Having breakfast with Matt Stafford, you know, getting manis and petties together. They're just BFFs. And Cooper Kupp, the uncoverable fucking slot machine outside X, can do it all. What do you do with Cooper Kupp in Dynasty right now? Because he is what? Cooper Kupp is what, 28? He'll be 29. He will be 29 years old to start the season. Now, I'm not making this comparison because, well, maybe I am making the comparison, damn it. Because did we ever think that Devontae Adams would fall out of the top 20 in Dynasty at the wide receiver position this quick? He's not, according to DLF, as long as my eyes are not deceiving me, Nuke Hopkins is not a top 20 dynasty receiver. And it felt like it just happened quickly, man. And maybe it was more gradual. Maybe the blinders were on and we were still thinking Kyler Murray was going to make it happen for him. But does Cooper Kupp duplicate the season again? And if you have him, what are you doing? If you had Cooper Kupp and you won a title, you won a dynasty title this year, do you say, thank you, Mr. Kupp, for your services? I am going to send you away. I am done. I'm going to cash out. Or are you hoping for that magic to repeat itself and saying, you know what? I'm riding Cooper Kupp for another year. He's awesome. He's great. He's fantastic. But talk to me about what we're doing with him in Dynasty.
Man, Cooper Kupp. And this is somebody who I've got a lot of Cooper Kupp in Dynasty. So I'm speaking from experience. I put him out there on the block. I've been trying to move him. The problem, Ray, with trying to move Cooper Kupp right now is his production and how legendary his season was this year. Because of the name, people don't value him. They still don't value. I know we're staring at Dynasty Start. We're staring at ADP. And I know he's at wide receiver 10. And I'm sitting here telling you that people don't value him high enough, although this says otherwise. But if you put Cooper Kupp out there and you're like, okay, what would you give me for? And you're asking not even just a king's ransom, but like you're asking for a good return, a really damn good return, like on an elite wide receiver. Dude just like broke all kinds of NFL records. And honestly, what the hell is changing out of his outlook for next year? I'm not saying he's going to go out there and just ball out and get 2,000 damn receiving yards or what have you. I'm not saying that at all. But he's a player that's still in his prime. He's still going to go out there and probably put up 1,500 yards freaking receiving next year. He's going to be the unquestioned leader of that passing attack. Because we're going to talk about Odell Beckham. We're going to talk about Bobby Trees and stuff here. They're not stealing targets away, and they're not going to steal the alpha role away, even if Odell re-signs there. They draft a dude, whatever. Nobody's stealing the alpha role away from Cooper Kupp walking into next season. The problem I have with Kupp is, yeah, I would be trying to trade him. I think his value is probably as high as it's going to be. You look at age, and you look at a guy that, I mean, even staring at his contract, Ray, like, next year is really where he's got a lot of money tied up. They're not going to do anything and move on for him. But you look at 2023, 30 years old. They could cut him, save $10 million against the cap. I mean, these contracts, when we look at contract structures and trying to figure out dynasty values, and you add on his age on top of it, the problem with Kupp that I've had in multiple dynasty leagues, because I own him in a lot of them, man. Like, he's on my rosters, man, because I believed he was going to ball the hell out this year, and he did. But the problem is people aren't wanting to pay for Cooper Kupp. Even though he's wide receiver 10 on DLF's ADP and startups and stuff like that, you're hard-pressed, and people consider me to roll in their eyes at me and be talking trades. And if that's the case, roll up in our mentions. When we pop this episode live, roll up in the mentions. Tell me what you got rid of Cooper Kupp for in Dynasty. Because I can tell you, as somebody who I've got him on multiple squads, you're not getting this type of like Davante Adams-esque like top tier level return. And you should, considering the what he put up on the NFL field this year, and his situation doesn't look any damn different walking into next year. But Cooper Kupp just doesn't have that sexy name, man. Cooper Kupp's not getting you that type of like two high-end firsts. Like, that's probably not happening. If you're trading him away, which I think that's probably the move, what do you want, Ray? Like,
so maybe, would you take, let me ask you this. Would you take, let's just say you want to replace him with a young receiver and you get your choice out of 2022. Would you trade Cooper Kupp for the 101? So would you trade Cooper Kupp for Treylon Burks plus a second? Would you trade Cooper Kupp for Treylon Burks and David Bell? Those two young receivers, would you trade Kupp for Burks and David Bell? Would you do that?
I would, man. Like, you're talking about two first round picks, or if you're even talking about, look at the guys behind him in DLF ADP. So we're talking to like T. Higgins is right behind him. Would you trade Cooper Kupp for, say, T in a second or something like that? I'd probably make that move, man, because I think T's locked in as a wide receiver one in Dynasty for the next like 2 to 3 seasons, dude. Now, we can have the conversation, can he climb higher than this? That's a fair conversation to have. But I think that he can hold his value longer than Cooper Kupp can. The problem is getting rid of him, man. Like, would you take the trade? Would you take Bell and Burks? And I haven't gotten into the film yet, but valuing those guys, they're probably both like, we're saying basically, would you trade Cooper Kupp for two firsts? One being like the 101 and a late first, or maybe a mid first and a late first. I'd probably make that move at least at this point. Would you do it?
I did it in my home dynasty league. I had Cooper Kupp and I moved him for the 101 and the 111.
Nice.
And I'm projecting that to be Treylon Burks and David Bell or Garrett Wilson or Jameson Williams. So I traded a Kupp and I'll end up getting two young. You know what, man? I'm watching you and I want to drink too. I got a drink right behind me. I just saw you take a sip. What you got? Bourbon over there? Some whiskey? Some bourbon?
Always, complete, baby. Got bourbon.
Complete derail of the show, and you guys will understand this will happen more often than not. Literally about 15 minutes ago, I got up and took something out of the oven while D-Bro was talking about Cam Akers. But yes, I traded Cooper Kupp for the 101 and the 111 in my home dynasty league. It didn't feel great, but it was a move where I'm like, I know he's going to get 1,500 yards again next year. I know he's going to have 100-plus receptions again next year, but I'm starting – the succession plan from Cooper Kupp. So I had to move off from him really quickly because, I mean, shit, this show's going to be 2 damn hours. Odell Beckham, Odell Beckham and Robert Woods. What are you doing with OBJ? I think he's going to be a little bit of a value because he's up there in age as well. But you're not drafting Odell Beckham Jr. to be your number one wide receiver. He's going to be your wide receiver three that probably could return you RB2, wide receiver two value. What are you doing with OBJ in Dynasty, and what are you doing with Bobby Trees?
You're going to have to hold him, man. You're going to have to hold him, and you're probably going to have to hold him and just rock it till the wheels fall off. They've gotten to that point in Dynasty where you're probably not going to get a great return on them. The best that you could probably hope for is probably trading them away in season. And you're looking at, do you get a 2023 second out of the deal, like out of a contender? But outside of that, you're probably just having to hold them, dude, because they're both walking into that age 29 season. They're at the spot where it's interesting, right? Like in Dynasty, we see the script flipped on a lot of these aging, especially the wide receiver position, dude, where they become, and Julio was in this realm for multiple seasons. And I'm not talking about Robert Woods and Odell and the Julio and the same talent range and what have you, but to say that they're in that bucket of dudes where their value for your dynasty team exceeds whatever the hell you're going to get back in a trade over multiple years. So honestly, I think you're going to have to hold both those dudes and just rock it till the wheels fall off. Where do you sit with them?
Yeah, man. Both of those dudes, I just looked, they're both 29. OBJ had a turn 30 during the season. He's got what? Maybe 2-3 more good years left, and then it's probably a wrap, probably 2 good years left. What do you get in for him? Like, I'm not trading him for a second, so I'll just hold him. You know, okay. Robert Woods is one. If you offered me a high second, 204, 205, even in 2022, I'm probably taking it. Yeah, I love Robert Woods, but the production is already – I mean, even before he got hurt, we saw him have, and I'm happy for me, we saw him have that big season in 2019. Production dipped a little bit in 2020, and I get it. It was Jared Goff. Like, I understand the circumstances around which he played. But if I can get a second rounder for Robert Woods, I'd probably go ahead and move off of that. Anything with Van Jefferson, any kind of worth talking about, like I think it's pretty clear that he's not going to be, and the thing is, when Van's on the field and they throw it to him, he does a good job. Like, he's a good deep threat. I just don't think they trust him enough to roll him out there as a WR2 for that team. Any thoughts on Van Jefferson before we turn over to Cincinnati?
The team told you everything you needed to know. They went out and they signed Odell Beckham. I mean, that's just telling you that, like, he's replaceable, baby. Like, Robert Woods, hell, if they even re-sign Odell to, like, a short term, like a 1-year deal or something, keep him there, then I think that you're looking at, he's basically going to be in that same kind of ilk. He's not a guy that I think, like, is going to gain any kind of value. It's just one of those situations. You just got to hold it, dude.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. So Cincinnati, let's talk about these young guns. And you already talked about T. Higgins, top DLF has him ranked. What do they have? His wide receiver, what's that, 11? And Ja'Marr Chase right there at wide receiver 2. Talk to me about T. Talk to me about Mr. T. Higgins, 22 years old, young, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. We know the offense is dope. I'm just going to say this. Here's my fear with T. Higgins. My fear is this is going on year 3. He was a second round pick, so he signed a 4-year contract. They would be wise to re-sign him. I'm just thinking, what if T. Higgins is like, God damn it, I'm the man. I'm supposed to be that dude. I'm that guy. I'm going to go get paid somewhere else. And, you know, if I'm T, I'm sticking with Joe Burrow. I don't know if I'm changing teams like that. But is there any fear that T. Higgins is like, I want to be the man. I'm out of here. I'm going to go be the alpha somewhere else. Or am I reaching too far? Am I reaching for this one?
So I'm not worried about T rolling out and saying he wants to be the man. If anything, I think that this team could, like, let Boyd walk, and not saying this year, but when his contract is up, And I think you're looking at a team that re-signs T. Higgins and stuff like that, and they roll with Chase and Higgins as their dudes, and we're going to get to the tight end position on a player who's going to be walking into free agency. And this team and this passing attack is really going to walk through these two twin towers, dude. These two guys who are going to lead the passing attack for the next 3 to 4 seasons. So I honestly think that they're probably in a decent cap. I'd have to go back and look what their cap situation looks like. I mean, obviously, we're projecting this 2 years down the road, that a lot can change. But you're looking at Boyd's numbers coming off the board. Maybe they move on from Mixon and stuff like that. They got some money. They draft a rookie running back and stuff like that. They addressed other positions of need. And they got the money and the cash to re-sign T. I look at this as a passing attack that's going to build around Chase and T moving forward. And everybody else is going to file in around them.
All right. Let's have some fun here. All right. We're going to have some fun here. Just answer the question. Right. Don't elaborate. Just answer. Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson?
Oh, it's Chase.
Okay.
Chase.
All right. They got DLF's got Chase at wide receiver two. If you have Jamar, so is Jamar Chase your wide receiver one in Dynasty? Yes or no?
Damn right.
All right. Would you be trading, actively trying to trade Jamar Chase off your Dynasty team? Because there are a lot of people who are saying you need to be floating Jamar Chase out there in trade deals right now. I laugh too. Now, I'm going to read you some trades that I have found that have taken place over the last, very recently. All right. I'm just going to read some of these trades that have taken place with Jamar Chase. Well, shit, they're actually not very recent. Let's change this up because I want to see something. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Why would anybody do this? I don't know. But Jamar Chase or Jonathan Taylor, which one do you want?
Oh, give me Chase.
Okay. Chase. Listen to this one. Listen to this one. Jamar Chase, Saquon Barkley, and Jerry Jeudy. Woof.
What the?
Yeah.
Somebody got drunk? Did you send that at 2 a.m.? That's bad sauce, dude.
Mm-mm. Look at this one, man. Somebody traded Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase for not one, not two, not three, but 4 first-round picks, a second rounder, and Trey Lance. Now, would you take that? Joe Burrow and Chase. Actually, it's single quarterback. So screw the quarterback. Like, let's cancel out Trey Lance and Joe Burrow. Jamar Chase for 4 first-round picks, 2 of them being in 2022, 2 in 2023, and a 2023 second. Would you do that?
If I'm rebuilding and stuff like that, and this is literally the top-heavy part of your roster, and it's like, I got Chase and I ain't got shit else, I would make the move. Now, it would pain me to say it, but if you hit on even half of those picks and you turn Chase into 2 top-end assets, then I think the move pays off. Dude, if you hit Yahtzee and you turn it into 4 dudes, 3 dudes, that remakes your entire damn team. So for that time, like, that's the Godfather offer, right? Yeah. Like, how many, tell me this, what kind of leagues are we in? We're going to get that kind of stuff, man.
None.
Like,
none. No one's giving you 4 first round picks for anybody. No. Like, it's just not, two sharp leagues. And I'm looking through these trades. None of these things are appealing to me, man. I'm seeing Jamar Chase and Freiermuth for Nick Chubb, Ridley, and Waller. No thank you.
Ew.
Jamar Chase, Ayuk, and LaVisca for Chuba Hubbard, DK Metcalf, and Jerry Jeudy. Why would you even what? No. Jamar Just Chase. No. Look at this one. Jamar Chase for Nick Chubb in a 2023 first round pick. Like, what are we doing, man? Like,
why? Why the hell would you do that?
If you're in a league with a bunch of suckers, and you can get 4 or 5 first-round picks for Jamar Chase, have at it. Like, make the deal if you can do that. If you're in any type of sharp league, all right, let me ask you this one. Jamar Chase for CeeDee Lamb and Cam Akers. What side do you want? That's a deal OGQ made. I traded Jamar Chase, and I got CeeDee Lamb and Cam Akers.
I like that deal, man. I like
that. Do you like, you don't have to lie to me. Do you like
it? No, I'm not lying to you. It's painful. Okay. Like, I put Ja'Marr Chase, and people can call me. They can check my ranks over at FTN Fantasy. Check the ranks, baby. Ja'Marr Chase is the wide receiver one for me. Mm-hmm. And people have Justin Jefferson over him. That's fine. You want to roll with Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins? You do that. You be you. You go ahead with that. But I can't do that with Ja'Marr Chase. Like, right. I was in on him. I was never out on him. I never believed all this, like, white stripe on the ball bullshit he can't catch. I've been out in the streets telling people from the damn, trying to spit the good word and tell you this man has Davante Adams type of ceiling. And he ain't even just scratching and sniffing yet, man. First year in the league, dude's balling out. Wait until we see a full complement of what the Cincinnati Bengals showed us down the stretch and in the playoffs, and they don't just use him as a deep threat in every damn game. They use him in the slot. They use him on short crossers, and he's just rolling up yak. Like, Ja'Marr Chase has that type of skill set. This isn't even me being, like, hyperbolic, right?
Okay.
Like, it's okay. Not. It's not. I mean, talk about a guy that's in the NFL right now that could go out and break these Cooper Kupp records and shit like that? That's Chase. Yeah. That's who that is.
I legitimately said, I don't know if I was talking to my patrons or if I was, I don't know who I was talking to. No, mm-hmm. Actually, it was Scott Connor. It was Scott Connor. Shout out Scott Connor, Dynasty and Chill.
Love that, man.
We got to get him on the show. We got to get him on the show.
Damn right.
But I said, I think if there's a wide receiver that could go for over 2,000 yards, like, I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to be the next cat. Like, I think he legitimately could get to. He's that fucking good, man. Like, just being real, that good. He's that talented. I don't think the main point about this was not to talk about Ja'Marr Chase's dynasty rank, bro. Fucking burping Topo Chico up. I got the whiskey right here, and I poured Topo Chico.
I saw you open the whiskey. I thought you were fasting because I saw the bubbly water there too, man.
Yeah, man.
You threw me off.
I'm not I probably broke the fast a little bit, but it's just a little bit of whiskey. It's not to talk about Ja'Marr Chase being wide receiver one or two. I just wanted to know, would you trade him for X? Because that's what a lot of people are telling us to do. Again, if you get the Godfather offer for first rounders and a player, it's a deal where you down tier to another young receiver like a CeeDee Lamb, who I think is a tier below Ja'Marr Chase. You add in a top in Debro's, ranks, a top 8 dynasty running back. Maybe there's a little more consideration to do something like that, but I am not trading him for like Najee Harris and a pick or Calvin Ridley and DK Metcalf. Not doing it, man. Can't do it. Tyler Boyd, you want to touch on him real quick? I'm with you. I think they're going to move on from him. Like him. He is what he is, man. Like he is what he is. He's Tyler Boyd. You feel me?
I mean, that's it. He's in that same bucket. You wouldn't talk about Bobby Trees and stuff like that. I mean, Tyler Boyd, yeah. I don't think people really understand that Tyler Boyd is 28 freaking years old, dude. And you can move on from him, have at it. But ain't nobody probably giving you a lot for Tyler Boyd. Again, he's probably more valuable on your squad, and you just rock it if the wheels fall off. And that's honestly, you missed your sell window on Tyler Boyd. That was way back when, man. Like, that was like last year, the year before, you know? So if you still got him on your squad, have at it. He's going to stay there. Ain't nobody giving you anything for him.
All right, you want to talk about these shit tight ends real quick?
Yeah, man. I mean, look, Tyler Higbee is what he is. I mean, he's a dude coming in at DLF's ADP. He's tight end 19. He's going to be 20. He's 29 years old. I mean, look, you got Tyler Higbee. My big thing with tight ends is I turn them over like crazy. I'm constantly recycling tight ends. Like, I get them when they're low, or I get them as values. And then once we see their value up and it kind of raises, then it's time to get out. Peace. Bye. Like, 9 times out of 10, like, and I'm not talking about the elites of the elites, like Travis Kelce's. You talk about Kyle Pitts, Mark Andrews even right now, because I think he's a top 3 tight end in Dynasty.
You're damn right, like, he is. You damn right. Yep. Put some respect on Andrews' name, baby.
He's number 2 for me. The only guy I got ranked above Andrews is Kyle Pitts, and that's it.
There we go.
So, I mean, I got him over Kittle and some other dudes, man. Like, I love Andrews, but I don't love either one of these guys. Like,
yeah.
You stuck with him. Like, nobody's going to give you anything for Tyler Higbee. Like, that just is what it is, man. And Nobody's going to give you a damn thing for CJ Uzomah. He's tight end 36. He's going to be a free agent this upcoming year. The interesting talking point for CJ Uzomah, Ray, because I don't think you're getting anything in trades for either one of these dudes, so whatever. CJ Uzomah, him being an unrestricted free agent this year, we're just coming off a Senior Bowl, man. We got a tight end class that's a little bit deep. They only got Drew Sample. Do you think Cincinnati possibly goes out and they address the tight end position and pick up a guy in the draft this year?
I think so, and it's even more egregious that Zach Taylor spent a second-round pick on Drew Sample a couple of years ago. What the hell was he doing? Listen, you got a young stud quarterback, surround him with weapons. If they let Tyler Boyd go, man, wouldn't it be nice to see an Isaiah Likely with Joe Burrow? Wouldn't it be cool to see – I don't think Trey McBride would be there late enough for them to take him, but you're talking about a guy like Greg Dulch. You could see Grant Calcaterra. Man, what if they pay up for like a Dalton Schultz and they get Dalton Schultz over there with Joe Burrow? Because I don't think Dallas is going to be able to re-sign him. Reality is both of these starting tight ends aren't valuable dynasty assets. If I were going to take a deep shot on anybody, it'd be that Blanton kid that they have, number 86. Like, you know, they throw him out there. He catches some passes. He looks athletic. When you're talking about just some cheap, like the thing, I'm actually about to put a waiver claim in on him in a couple of leagues this evening. But I think that Blanton kid might be a sneaky, just kind of, you know, it's a good offense. He's gotten on the field. He's made some plays. Maybe he works his way on the field. They still have Bryson Hopkins, the young kid out of Purdue. I don't really know what he's going to do, but ultimately these tight ends are not fantasy relevant, worthy, and worth our time to discuss. And nobody wants to hear about these guys. So overall, I guess my takeaway, Jay, Jay, I called you damn Jay. This is how much I am not used to doing a show with somebody else.
I was
else.
Waiting for it to happen, to be honest, if we're talking real.
I called you Jay, and it's okay if you call me Adam. Fade the Chalk. Make sure you check that out. Wake up with Ray G every day, Monday through Thursday. But this weekend, man, there are a lot of good storylines from a dynasty perspective that we're going to monitor this Super Bowl. I agree with you. Cam Akers, big game, value goes up. Joe Mixon could be at the height of his value after a good game here. Joe Burrow, Joe Shiesty, Joey B, he's locked and loaded, you know, where he's at. Odell Beckham could be playing for another contract with the Rams. He could be playing for a future somewhere else. I really hope to see him stay in L.A. Long story short, this is a good capstone to a hell of a season, and I'm excited, Derek, to go through this show with you, go through this journey with you with FTN Fantasy. Just excited about this show, man, and I hope people enjoyed this first episode, and I'm ready to come back and do it again next week.
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, this is the first of many. We're going to be chopping it up every single week. Usually these episodes are going to drop on a Tuesday or Wednesday, rolling every single week, man. And look, we went through a shit ton of stuff on this show, Ray. I mean, good times, good talks, man, and especially how people need to be approaching Dynasty. We're going to be talking rookies and all these other things.
Yeah.
In the weeks to come, man, because right now, I mean, like, we're talking Super Bowl and we're spitting it from a dynasty angle right now, but this is about to be money time, man.
Yeah,
like,
man.
This is our time. Like, we're gonna be talking rookies, we're gonna be talking all these prospects going up to the NFL draft and where these dudes can land and our thoughts on them. So I'm hashtag blessed to be able to do this show. You talking about this off the hop. And out of all the people they could have chose to sit here and do the flagship show for FTN, I feel blessed to be able to sit in this chair and sit here and chop it up with you on a damn weekly basis. That's a blessing to me, man, because I love talking football, but I love talking football with sharp people that not only do I respect their opinions in this space and out of it, but I want people that could sit here and push back at me and be like, hell no, what are you talking about? And I know in that chair, you're going to do it every single week. And that is exactly what I'm ready for, man. So first of many, man, a damn good episode. And I'm just excited for the future. We're going to crush it, dude.
Well, check it out, man. We'll be back. And like Derek said, the show's going to drop on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. I want to make sure that people know think it's going to drop on, is it Wednesdays or two? When does it drop? When's the damn show drop?
Yeah. Let's rock it on Wednesdays. Drop on Wednesdays.
We're dropping on Wednesdays. Okay. So make sure y'all subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review. If there's anything that I've learned from working with the company FTN, we love to give shit away. So make sure you subscribe to the show. Rate and review, 5-star rating, leave your review. I promise you we'll give some stuff away at some point in time in the near future. For D-Bro, for Ray, for FTN Fantasy, this is the flagship show, FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. We appreciate y'all tapping in, and we will see y'all next week. We out. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We love you. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast with Ray and Derek. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at RayGQ and Debro_FFB. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.